Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Starflower, and I'd like to welcome you into our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we share information and inspirations as well as tips and techniques for helping you be the architect of your own healing and transformation. And as always, the intent on this program is only to offer information of a general nature, so nothing herein should be taken as medical, nor as personal advice, nor as a diagnosis or a prescription in any form. You are eternally encouraged to make the autonomous and self-directed choices that are best suited to you in your quest for well-being. Okay, so let's get right into some sacred healing information. And today, I will be sharing exceptional benefits of edible flowers. Now, edible flowers have been in traditional cuisine and as phytotherapy or plant-based therapy for centuries, really. And recently, the consumption of edible flowers has increased significantly. I believe not only for the beauty and the taste they can add to dishes, but also for their exceptional benefits. And there is increasing and renewed interest in growing flowers as food and therapeutics, since people are becoming more interested in diversified and natural sources of key nutrients. I know I've been asked more and more about the benefits, and I've spoken at more conferences of late on these as well as other natural health and ecological cultivation topics. And with flowers, researchers continue to study and report on the many plant-based compounds and nutrients in edible flowers and their numerous health benefits. And the compounds in edible flowers and in many plants, whether herbs or fruits or vegetables, are often so beneficial and are so potentially powerful in supporting our health, they are often actually called nutraceuticals. And we're talking about compounds like polyphenols, such as flavonoids, like anthocyanins and quercetin, and others, as well as carotenoids, like the carotenes and lycopene, plus the xanthophylls, like lutein. And I will refer back to some of those terms and names as we continue for those in our listenership that appreciate those details. But more importantly, perhaps, I will include the benefits of these natural plant compounds, including their antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, cardioprotective, anti-diabetic properties, and so on. And truly, I do not always love the term anti because it connotes a fight against something, and fighting with any aspect of the self can lead to dissociation. And it seems we're much better off at transcending challenges when we understand them and integrate them with light and love. Light and love both outrank health challenges. And still, people do readily understand the terminology when we say anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory. So I will continue to use those terms here just for simplicity and clarity's sake. But in the spirit of transcendence of our challenges instead of warring with them, I'll say that natural plant compounds also have cardioprotective properties, meaning protective of the heart and cardiovascular system, or even better, cardiosupportive properties, that's a better way to say it, as well as hepatosupportive properties, meaning supporting a healthy liver, and gastroprotective properties, meaning they support healthy digestion and various aspects of digestion, such as the stomach and so on, and genoprotective effects, meaning protective of our genes and supportive of optimized genes. So, although there's more and more research studies being done all the time, and I have literally pored through hundreds of pages of research and I've studied countless tables and charts and graphs, there are still many edible flowers that remain unexplored and so many more beneficial compounds in flowers and in other plants, herbs, fruit, and vegetables that are as yet undiscovered. nature just keeps giving and giving us healing options. So more good news to come as we learn more. And given that we're going to be talking today about the benefits of edible flowers, just a gentle reminder that it's important that any flowers we ingest are, of course, properly identified and ideally are wild and or ecologically tended. And as always, it's up to you. But perhaps to consider foregoing flowers along most roadsides at present, for example, or if you decide to purchase flowers from a florist or a nursery or a garden center, please be sure that they're specifically labeled as edible, otherwise they might have been treated with chemicals. And in general, it's good to know the source of our foods for several reasons. Certainly knowing the source can lead to more comfort and the safety and wholesomeness. And then ideally, whenever possible, when we can grow them ourselves, they can offer so many additional benefits in cultivating and connecting with plants and watching them grow, including customization of nutrients as well as other beneficial properties. It's true. And if you're new to eating flowers or to eating different types of flowers, it could be prudent, if you wish, to start slowly and screen for your reactions prior to proceeding further. You know, much like you would if you're pursuing any new foods or therapeutics to ensure they're optimal for you. Okay, so let's get right into some examples. Let me start with one of my favorites, and that is nasturtiums. Now, nasturtiums are of the Tropelium genus, and this is a different plant than watercress. So here I'll be referring specifically to the benefits of nasturtium of the Tropelium genus, which includes dozens of species of annual and perennial plants. Many people grow these nasturtiums, such as Tropelium majus. They feature a wide variety of warm pastel and jewel tone colors, usually yellow, orange, and red. And these flowers display above rounded leaves. And to me, the leaves look like, small little lily pads. And both the flowers as well as the leaves are edible, and they have a delicious, kind of spicy or peppery taste. I just love them. I love to add them fresh to salads. And some people use the seeds as a substitute for capers. So with the flowers, while some flowers we'll talk about in a bit do fairly well with different types of storage, I would recommend eating nasturtium flowers fresh if at all possible, or if that's not possible, to get them into refrigeration as soon as you can. Now, nasturtium flowers have many beneficial phytonutrients, and phyto just means plant, so nasturtiums have many beneficial natural nutrients, including several polyphenols, such as the flavonoids, and the phenolic acids, and carotenoids. And that's, I know those are some terms here, but what do they mean from a practical perspective? What are their benefits? Well, let's start with one of the flavonoids, and that is rutin, R-U-T-I-N. And rutin is associated with quercetin, if you've heard of that. So rutin is a natural plant compound. It's been credited with antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. And when we say antioxidant, many people associate that with healthier aging in general, meaning slowing down the wear and tear that can happen sometimes in our bodies and the systems within our bodies. And rutin, wonderfully, has been shown in research to also inhibit the proliferation of breast, colon, lung, and prostate cancer. And rutin can also help promote normal hormone balance and has been shown in studies to help lower blood pressure and help relieve venous insufficiency, that's what we call it, but another way to say that is just beneficial to our veins. And rutin has been used with some noticeable success in cases of osteoporosis as well as autism. And rutin also helps support a natural process that promotes excretion of toxins via our urine. So it supports one of our detoxification pathways. And rutin is so valuable, I'll share with you, it's also found in apple skins and onions. Buckwheat's a great source, citrus, asparagus. Now, asparagus, we're talking about the actual vegetable, the stems, not the flowers. Rutin is also in figs and elderflowers, bergamot flowers, black and green tea. That's all I can think of right now. There's probably others. Now, also in nasturtium flowers is the flavonoid cyanidin. That's C-Y-A-N-I-D-I-N. It's also a natural organic compound of flavonoids. Specifically, it's an anthocyanin, if you're familiar with that. It's a natural plant compound that's also been credited with antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. And due to those strong antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, natural anthocyanins, such as we can find in plants and flowers, can offer amazing therapies for some chronic disorders, such as cardiovascular disease, liver challenges, bowel inflammation, metabolism challenges, And cyanidin specifically has additionally been credited with blood sugar harmonizing properties. Many people would just call that anti-diabetic. And this particular anthocyanin, cyanidin, is also naturally found in many colorful berries, such as red or purple-red berries, plus some fruits and vegetables with red or purple-red natural coloring, such as red apples and plums, also in red cabbage, red onion, plus the blue-black berries and fruits, purple vegetables like purple potatoes, black rice, etc. And this is a good time to mention that there are several factors that can influence the nutrients in flowers, including the growing conditions as well as the differences in the color of the flowers. See, there are three major groups of pigments in flowers, the anthocyanins, the carotenoids, and the betalains. And extending this to other plant parts, there's also the chlorophylls. For example, here you might have noticed that with cyanidin, I focused on reds and blue, blacks, and purples, because the pigment cyanidin, which again is an anthocyanin, participates in forming those colors in flowers. And anthocyanins in total, meaning cyanidin plus additional anthocyanins, participate in forming violets and pinks and blues, as well as oranges and reds. And I'll provide more examples later of color. And also found in nasturtium flowers is the natural flavonoid apigenin. And apigenin has also been shown to have anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, as well as supporting our immune function and carrying anti-cancer properties. And like most natural compounds that carry anti-cancer properties, apigenin has been shown to have prominent effects against cancer cells while remaining safe and non-toxic to normal cells. And various clinical trials have shown the therapeutic potential of apigenin as a neuroprotective agent, meaning benefits of brain and helping improve cognitive function, including learning and memory. Enough so that apigenin actually has been called in research a, quote, a promising candidate, end quote, for treating and preventing different neurological disorders. And studies have shown that apigenin may also have anti-anxiety and antidepressant effects, and apigenin has also been shown to help alleviate some cardiovascular conditions, has been shown to reduce blood pressure, anti-diabetic properties with apigenin. Let's see, what else can I remember? Osteoporosis, osteoarthritis has been beneficial. That's all I can think of for now, but because of all those potential therapeutic benefits, apigenin is yet another natural plant compound that is an active area of research as for natural therapeutics. Oh, and apigenin also has sleep-promoting effects. I just remembered that. And in addition to being found in nasturtium flowers, it's also found in chamomile flowers. And so in addition to those two, it's also found in parsley. That's a really good source. Also raw celery and celery seeds, capers, spinach, cabbage, broccoli, thyme, blueberries, onions, oranges, cilantro, and in flowers, also roses, dahlias, and chrysanthemums. And that's a lot of benefit for nasturtiums, but that's not all. Nasturtiums also contain the beneficial compounds like cumaric acid and ferulic acid and caffeic acid, all natural anti-inflammatories, and caffeic acid specifically has been shown in some studies to slow cancer development or perhaps even prevent cancer altogether. And in the studies, they've seen this against breast, colon, and oral cancer. And these compounds also have some antibacterial and antifungal properties. So, okay, in flowers, in addition to nasturtiums, these three compounds I just rattled off can be found in hibiscus flowers, peonies, tulips, lavender, violet. And nasturtium flowers also contain gallic acid, and like the compounds I've shared already, they're also antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and they can help prevent certain things like cardiovascular and neurodegenerative disease as well as cancer, according to research. And with gallic acid, specifically the anti-neoplastic or anti-cancer properties, has been shown in several studies to be effective against colon cancer, liver cancer, breast, cervical, and lung cancer. And, you know, can be beneficial in gastrointestinal, metabolic, you know, several different things. So nasturtiums are so beneficial, there's even more things to share. For example, the carotenoid lutein, which is xanthophyll. Now, lutein, that's L-U-T-E-I-N, can be very valuable in supporting optimal health for our eyes, especially. Also helpful for our skin. And carotenoids are fat-soluble pigments participating in forming yellow, orange, and red colors, primarily. In addition to all those benefits, nasturtium flowers also carry several minerals. Just as a one-cup serving, there's a good source. And when we say good source, that officially means at least 10% of the recommended daily amount of calcium, magnesium, zinc, potassium. Oh, and I'll add that, like so many plants, we grow of various types. The minerals in the plants depend in part on the minerals in the soil, so things do vary in nature. And nasturtiums also have vitamins A and C. And what's more, on the whole, flowers are just a very high vibrational food. Fruits and greens and flowers especially tend to carry higher vibrations, which can help raise our vibrations. And beyond the physical level, eating nasturtium flowers can impart an uplifting resonance. And they're just so easy to grow from seeds. So if you have a garden or even, you know, a few pots that you can try to grow nasturtiums yourself. And just a quick tip here, the seeds, just like when we plant peas or okra, the seeds tend to do better in terms of germination if they get soaked. I just soak them overnight. And let's see, nasturtiums also can protect against other little buggers coming around your plants, and they can make, once they're established, a good mulch for the soil, you know, living mulch. So that's nasturtiums, and so perhaps you can see why I wanted to start with them. There's just so many benefits, and let's go on. There's just, I could say more, but let's go on to more flowers, and I'd like to share as many as I can. And I'm going to try to summarize the benefits. Let's see how I do. So let's move on to violets and pansies. And now, violets and pansies are from the Viola genus, and the wild or garden violets, even the little bluish purple ones we see in the spring lawns or the edges of woods, that's Viola odorata. And bluish purple violets are spring perennials. To me, they have a very mild or sweet taste. And I, let me just say real quickly, violets, you can also find them in yellow, but we just focus on the bluish purple ones for eating, so please keep that in mind. Okay, now for pansies, we just want to focus on the edible ones. That would include Viola whitrockiana. It often appears in multiple colors, purple, yellow, and white, with, often with two or more colors on one petal. Could also be in blues. And Viola tricolor, which is also known as heartsease or Johnny Jump Up. A lot of people know it like that. Usually tricolored petals in purple, yellow, white, or a variation of that. And Viola whitrockiana and Viola tricolor, to me, the petals themselves don't taste like much, but when we eat the entire flower, including the sepals, which are just the green tiny leaf parts under the petals, so I just, you know, pluck it at the top of the stem, to me it has a wintergreen taste, so that's fun. Now, I know taste can be subjective, so it might taste a bit differently to others, and taste can vary by species and cultivar and growing conditions and even time of harvest. So for violets and pansies, I just like to eat them fresh or add them to a fruit salad or to a green salad or even to my water, and we can also make a syrup of the flowers, especially violets, and they can be added to, you know, soups, pastas, or garnish, or to baked goods. A lot of people like to add them to desserts or to top cakes, either fresh or candied, or even freeze them in ice cubes. That's fun. Okay, so benefits. Starting with violets, they have a few of the same compounds as in nasturtiums, cumaric, ferulic, caffeic acids, and I already talked about those. Anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, help to prevent several diseases, cardiovascular, neurodegenerative cancer. And these compounds have some antibacterial, antifungal properties, so we get those in violets too. And violets have actually long been credited with antifungal properties, but let's get on to something we haven't talked about. Violets also have a very special compound, the polyphenol ellagic acid. And ellagic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C, is another valuable phytonutrient which has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties and is known for reducing cancer risk and can help protect brain function and can help lower cholesterol. And in addition to finding ellagic acid in violets, it can be found in high amounts in raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, elderberries, grapes, oh, pomegranates, but fresh pomegranates. You know, if you're going to do the juice, do it on your own. Walnuts and pecans, and in terms of flowers, ellagic acid can be found in rose petals, lavender, peony, pinks or dianthus, and English daisy. And with violets, The flowers, as well as the leaves, also offer high amounts of vitamins A and C, both which are important for optimal immunity. And vitamins A and C are also antioxidants. I like to add the leaves as well to my salads. And beyond the physical benefits, wild or garden violets share a resonance that can help encourage us to reinstate our sense of self-sovereignty. And they can inspire growth and freedom. And they can inspire us to keep our life simple. So those are violets. Oh, the delicate fragrance of violets can the very diverse beneficial energies of creation, especially those related to the beneficial helper energies in nature. So that's violets. Let's continue on to talk about pansies and share some of their neat benefits. So let's start with Viola whitrockiana. And these flowers contain the helpful compounds rutin and cyanidin, we've already talked about, and the amazing phenolic acid called gallic acid. I just talked about all of those. And antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and really nearly all edible flowers have impressive antioxidant properties, truly. So quick reminder, rutin specifically has been shown to inhibit the proliferation of several types of cancer cells, help lower blood pressure, beneficial for our veins, helpful in osteoporosis, detoxification. And I'll tell you what, before we continue on, let's put in a quick break, but we'll be right back with Secrets of Sacred Healing. Please do join us after this quick break.
The old adage, smell the roses, still applies, but now with Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers, it takes this adage to a whole new level. It gives you ancient, natural healing methods using the unique properties of over 70 different flowers. We're talking healing on a mind, body, emotional, and spiritual level. All in one book, all for you. It even has pictures. This is a great reference book to be used over and over again. Buy The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
As an accomplished speaker, college professor, holistic educator, Barbara Starflower knows how to use food, herbs, and flowers as restorative, botanical, and energetic therapies. Why not explore this at your next online or in-person group venue? Or how about a talk on cooperative and ecological cultivation, or even how to plant nourishing, reliable harvests on your own land? And much more. Get Barbara to speak at your event. It's easy. Just email grace@barbarastarflower.com. That's grace@barbarastarflower.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Your destination for healing with flowers should be BarbaraStarflower.com. There's so much information for natural healing, cooperating with nature, and other fun topics. Barbara is an ambassador for the earth and for nature, a longtime ecological grower, and an advocate for natural healing methods. So you'll learn from the best when you visit BarbaraStarflower.com. With microblogs, book excerpts, and advance information on her upcoming books and courses, you won't want to miss her website. BarbaraStarflower.com. Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing, where today I've been sharing exceptional benefits of edible flowers. And prior to the break, I was sharing benefits of violets, and I just started talking about pansies. So let's continue on here. I was talking about Viola whitrockiana. And I mentioned a few of the compounds. Let's continue on, and let's talk about some carotenoids. Now, Viola whitrockiana also contains the carotenoids such as beta-carotene and several xanthophylls, which are carotenoids, including, gosh, anthraxanthin, lutein we've talked about, violaxanthin, and zeaxanthin. Very exciting, very beneficial. So lutein, which by the way comes from the Latin luteus, meaning yellow, you might recall it's beneficial to the health of our eyes especially, as well as skin. And it's so beneficial, in fact, studies show that lutein, I want to say, can play a significant role in preventing age-related macular degeneration. And it also may help with diabetic retinopathy or retinal detachment and uveitis. And uveitis is an inflammation of a very specific part of the eye. So it's good for the eyes. And lutein can also be found in our brain tissue and is actually considered the predominant carotenoid in our brains. And studies show that lutein may help improve our cognitive functions, such as learning and reasoning and remembering. And for many years, I taught college courses, including, gosh, several natural and holistic health, mind-body healing, nutrition, neuroscience, among a few other things. And I loved sharing about the many ways we can support our health and our brain health with natural compounds, such as with lutein and so many others we're talking about today. Now, lutein can also help support optimal cholesterol balance. And once more, lutein also is beneficial for our skin, helping to reduce or slow signs of aging, and specifically it's believed to help improve skin hydration and elasticity. And the compound lutein is so beneficial that I want to share that it can also be found in dark leafy greens like spinach and kale and collards, as well as, oh, in parsley, green peas, yellow squash, pumpkin, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, what else? Grapes, oranges, kiwi, egg yolks, honeydew melon, what else can I think of? Orange and red peppers, yellow carrots, pistachios. There's others, but that's all I can think of for now. Now, in terms of flowers, in addition to pansies, such as in Viola Whitrockiana, which we're talking about, in nasturtiums, which we talked about previously, lutein can also be found in snapdragons, bachelor's buttons, borage flowers, and pinks or dianthus. And this particular pansy also contains several minerals like potassium, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, iron, manganese, zinc, molybdenum. Now, I think a lot of people are familiar with what the other minerals do, but we don't talk about molybdenum enough. It's a trace mineral. It's essential for processing proteins, supporting our DNA, and helping us detoxify. So we can get all those in flowers. And, you know, they're not huge amounts, but like many things we can find in nature, the amounts tend to be highly absorbable. And like other violas, Viola Whitrockiana also has vitamins C and A. And beyond the physical benefits, pansies can be very grounding and centering. They can help bolster our sense of worthiness, just by admiring them, looking at them, appreciating them. And when our sense of worthiness increases, that can bring countless benefits in our lives. I could say other things, but let's get on to another edible flower. And how about calendulas? Now, with calendulas, that's the genus and species of Calendula officinalis, and sometimes people refer to them as pot marigolds, but I want to distinguish here that true marigolds of the Tagetes genus are a different plant. But calendulas, Calendula officinalis for the genus and species, and true marigolds, the Tagetes species, do have some overlapping benefits. So I'll first focus here on calendulas, and then we can talk about marigolds. So calendulas can come in different colors, but Calendula officinalis is usually a lovely orangish-yellow. To me, it reminds me of the sun. And the species name officinalis was often used over time to designate plants that were used in natural and historic medicine, often being kept in natural apothecaries. So officinalis often designates a plant that has long been used therapeutically. And how about the taste? Well, again, that can be subjective. But the petals of calendula, to me, they don't have too much of a taste, maybe mildly tangy, maybe a bit bitter, sometimes peppery, some strong taste, and again, it depends on a lot of factors. And I just like to add the petals to salads and other summer meals for their health benefits and their beauty. And they grow so abundantly for me that I can also dehydrate many and save them for teas, and I can also make healing salves and ointments and creams, whether for scrapes or insect bites or dry skin or even sunburn, because they do have anti-inflammatory and antiseptic properties. Now, as far as nutrients, there are many. first, like most flowers, calendula officinalis has strong antioxidant activity. And in fact, calendula was shown in research to be more effective in this antioxidant ability than the synthetic preservative BHT, which is often used as a food preservative in many processed foods. How about that? So many of the natural compounds in calendula include various terpenoids and flavonoids, as well as coumarins and quinones, plus carotenoids. And let's get to the benefits here. There's also essential oils and amino acids and beneficial fats. But, okay, what do these mean? There are many therapeutic properties in calendula, including antimicrobial. I mentioned antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, hepatoprotective, so helping protect the liver, gastroprotective, helping protect our, primarily our stomach, our digestive system, anti-mutagenic, meaning, what's another way to say that, preventing ourselves from going rogue, helping ourselves remember their true mission, and anti-diabetic. And let me just give you a couple examples. So some of the polyphenols, including cyanidin, we talked about quercetin, we'll talk more about camphorol, we'll talk about also chlorogenic acid, caffeic acid we talked about. So let me share the benefits. I think a lot of people have heard of quercetin, and so let's kind of talk about this. It's another plant pigment. It's a flavonoid. And people often take quercetin supplements, actually, because there have been many studies to show the anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antiviral properties, as well as neuroprotective or brain protective effects. And the research shows benefits in disease prevention in general, as well as specific benefits in helping manage a variety of issues, including heart and blood vessel problems and high blood pressure, upper respiratory and prostate infections, and allergies. I think a lot of people take quercetin supplements for allergies. And in lab tests, quercetin has been shown to reduce histamines, the chemicals that can trigger allergic reactions. And, you know, but you can get quercetin in flowers. And so quercetin can be found in calendula, also in rose petals and dahlia flowers, as well as in capers. That is a really concentrated source. And red onion, especially, is one of the highest vegetable sources of quercetin. And all onions have quercetin, but red and yellow have the most, because remember that quercetin is a natural pigment. And even if you see something that's white, there's still some pigmentation in there in flowers and vegetables and so forth, but just not as much. And most of the quercetin in onions is in the outer layers. So when you go to use your onion, peel off as little of the outside as possible. And shallots and scallions have quercetin. And red apples and the peel have the most. Grapes, berries and cherries, kale, organic tomatoes, especially the skins. So cherry tomatoes have the most because they have the highest skin-to-pulp ratio. And we'll continue on after we take this quick break. Please do join us after this break.
Trees are sentient beings that deserve our love and respect. They help us in so many ways. Just 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and produces 4 tons of oxygen, so we can breathe easier and help the planet at the same time. Property values increase with trees as much as 20%. Placed properly, trees reduce your air conditioning and heating bills, improve water quality, and stop chemicals from entering waterways. Trees help people, animals, water, land, and air. So the next time you see a tree, say thank you and take care of them. They're in your corner.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
It's time to transcend your personal struggles and reach your highest potential. So take control of your healing process, but you don't have to do it alone. Flowers can help. Get the information you need to heal on a mind, body, spirit level from Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers. Filled with beautiful photos, knowledge, and wisdom, you'll not only be able to heal yourself, but others. Get your copy of The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com. The old adage, smell the roses, still applies, but now with Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers, it takes this adage to a whole new level. It gives you ancient, natural healing methods using the unique properties of over 70 different flowers. We're talking healing on a mind, body, emotional, and spiritual level. All in one book, all for you. It even has pictures. This is a great reference book to be used over and over again. Buy The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com. Remember, help for a positive life. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back. I'm Barbara Starflower, and today we've been talking about exceptional and nifty and impressive benefits of edible flowers. And before the break, prior to the break, I was talking about calendula and one of the amazing compounds within it, quercetin. And I was saying, you know, that it can be found in multiple sources, and I believe I left off with tomatoes. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I mentioned and emphasized organic. And the reason I emphasized organic is because organic tomatoes, this sticks in my mind from a research study, have shown to have 79% more quercetin than tomatoes that are conventionally grown. And that's true across the board, nearly, according to researchers, that the beneficial plant compounds in organic and ecologically tended produce, and certainly wild produce, is noticeably and often significantly higher compared to conventionally grown. And that makes sense, of course, because many of the compounds and plants that are beneficial for us are created in the plants either as part of their natural defense mechanisms or to aid in their pollination or growth, etc. And as always, zero judgment here. I'm just trying to do the best I can to share information. So when plants are allowed to follow their natural course to a large degree, uninterfered with strong chemicals, for example, they often provide more beneficial phytonutrients as a result. So where else can we get quercetin? Let's see, broccoli and Brussels sprouts, cabbage. I mentioned several things before. You know, onions, of course, a great source. Citrus fruits, the skins of apples, I believe I mentioned, asparagus, buckwheat. That's a great source. Black tea, green tea. Those are some of the higher sources. And, you know, include that with the ones I mentioned before the break. I may have doubled up there, but that's okay. Okay. The other compound in calendula flowers that we have not yet talked about is camphorol. And camphorol is so beneficial, not many people are familiar with that. Let me spell that. It's K-A-E-M-P-F-E-R-O-L. And camphorol is another polyphenol, specifically it's a type of flavonoid. So it's no surprise it has antioxidant properties. And just a reminder that when we say antioxidants, that's so beneficial. It's one of the key compounds in supporting the smooth running of our bodily systems and in supporting healthier aging. And many studies have described the beneficial effects of dietary camphorol in reducing the risk of chronic diseases, especially cancer. And epidemiological studies, which are the ones that observe a population over a long period of time, have shown an inverse relationship between camphorol intake and cancer. So that is to say that those that tend to get more camphorol in their diets tend to have less incidence of cancer. And even more, at the molecular level, camphorol has been reported to support apoptosis of cancer cells, or cancer cell program death, or basically inspiring the cancer cells to commit suicide. And camphorol has also been shown to be wonderfully implicated in angiogenesis, so preventing cancer cells from obtaining nourishment. You know how they kind of steal blood vessels, so to speak? I'm oversimplifying it, but... And camphorol has been shown to be involved in thwarting metastasis, so stopping or slowing the spread of cancer. So just an extraordinary compound. So it's been shown to not only inhibit cancer cell growth, also induce cancer cell apoptosis or suicide, while at the same time preserving our normal cell viability. And in some cases exerting a protective effect, and it's wonderful. And truly, that's not that unusual for many natural and plant-based compounds. Now, camphorol, in addition to being found in calendula flowers, can also be found in peonies, roses, and dahlias. Also watercress, mustard greens, turnip greens, kale, spinach, arugula, blueberries are a great source, gooseberries, elderberries, blackberries, you know, berries or strawberries. Berries are wonderful fruits. Kiwi, watermelon, peaches, cherries, broccoli, so many wonderful natural foods. And calendula has an impressive amount also of carotenoids, including several carotenes and lycopenes and several xanthophylls, including luteins and several xanthans. One researcher found 18 distinct carotenoids in calendula, and another researcher found 19 distinct carotenoids. I just remember those numbers. It's just magnificent. And once more, those carotenoids are fat-soluble pigments. They're so beneficial. They're antioxidants. Oh, for example, a lot of people have heard of beta-carotene, which is in calendula. It's a precursor to vitamin A. It's important for immunity and good for skin health and can benefit lung health. Now, this is as fresh plant foods. Researchers have not found that to be true for supplements. And to me, now this is just me, as always I prefer everyone do whatever it feels right for them. But to me, I prefer to get my nutrients direct from nature whenever possible. And beta-carotene has also been shown over time to benefit cognitive function and memory. Oh, and calendula also has several minerals and several amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. Now, there's not a lot of protein in flowers, but again, like many plants, it tends to be easily absorbable. And many flowers, including calendula, have beneficial fats, such as linoleic acid. And calendula is so easy to grow and collect the seeds, and we can even make a lovely dye from calendula. It's just a wonderful plant to have around. And there are even more benefits, but let's go on and let's talk about those marigolds. And marigolds are of the Tagetes genus. Now, not all Tagetes marigolds are traditionally eaten. The Cygnet marigolds, which are the genus and species Tagetes tenuifolia, and specifically the gem series, such as tangerine gem and lemon gem, those are the most commonly enjoyed as edibles. They're, you know, more delicate little marigolds, and they have a spicier herbal taste, and some people remove the bitter taste of the petal, but I don't mind it. You know, bitter tastes have their place and their benefits as well. And I like to add marigold petals, you know, to salads or to summer soup. I like to just blend several types of greens. It depends what I've got growing. Some fruit, like an orange or a mango. I can't grow those here in the Midwest. And add some other things like cucumber. I've got plenty of that. Turmeric and ginger, some onion, garlic, carrot. You know, whatever I've got, plus some other things. I top it with various flowers. It just depends, again, on what I have here. And now, it's edible is Tagetes erecta, or African marigold. And Tagetes petula, known as French marigold, is also considered edible. And each of these contain a variety of beneficial flavonoids or flavonoids, carotenes, phenolic acids, for example, zeaxanthin, that along with lutein is a common carotenoid that helps protect the eyes. And I know a large, very well thought of supplement company that uses Tagetes erecta and Tagetes petula in the supplement they sell to benefit vision. And the orange variety of Tagetes petula appeared at the top of one study when compared to several other flowers for antioxidant activity. And zeaxanthin is also in snapdragons and passion flower, spinach, kale, a lot of the orange foods, egg yolks, orange peppers, papaya, orange juice. And there's also minerals. And I'll tell you what, we better take another quick break here, but we'll be right back. Please do join us after this break.
As an accomplished speaker, college professor, holistic educator, Barbara Starflower knows how to use food, herbs, and flowers as restorative, botanical, and energetic therapies. Why not explore this at your next online or in-person group venue? Or how about a talk on cooperative and ecological cultivation, or even how to plant nourishing, reliable harvests on your own land? And much more. Get Barbara to speak at your event. It's easy. Just email grace@barbarastarflower.com. That's grace@barbarastarflower.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Your destination for healing with flowers should be BarbaraStarflower.com. There's so much information for natural healing, cooperating with nature, and other fun topics. Barbara is an ambassador for the earth and for nature, a longtime ecological grower, and an advocate for natural healing methods. So you'll learn from the best when you visit BarbaraStarflower.com. With microblogs, book excerpts, and advanced information on her upcoming books and courses, you won't want to miss her website, BarbaraStarflower.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Trees are sentient beings that deserve our love and respect. They help us in so many ways. Just 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and produces 4 tons of oxygen, so we can breathe easier and help the planet at the same time. Property values increase with trees as much as 20%. Placed properly, trees reduce your air conditioning and heating bills, improve water quality, and stop chemicals from entering waterways. Trees help people, animals, water, land, and air. So the next time you see a tree, say thank you. And take care of them. They're in your corner.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hi there. Welcome back. I'm Barbara. And today I've been sharing special benefits of edible flowers. And another flower I want to share the exceptional benefits of is roses. Now, the benefits of enjoying rose petals is also backed by a lot of research, and this is probably one of the more heavily studied flowers in terms of its benefits, and more studies coming all the time, and there's just an impressive array of so many beneficial compounds, including some that we've talked about, apigenin, anthocyanins, quercetin, rutin, camphorol, many others, carotenoids like ellagic acid, gallic acid. They're all beneficial, and if I remember correctly, I've talked about each of those, and they're all very high in beneficial and antioxidant compounds. So it's just another exceptionally beneficial flower to enjoy. The petals also provide some vitamin C. Oh, and this might be a good time to add with flowers. If you're at all concerned about a possible allergic reaction to the pollen in flowers, then just plucking a few of the exterior petals and leaving the interior parts intact can help to at least limit the pollen you might get. And there are so many valuable nutrients in the petals, including flavonoids and carotenoids and vitamins and some of the phenolic acids I've mentioned. And when we pluck just the petals and leave the interior reproductive parts intact, that allows the flower, if the reproductive parts are left and they are pollinated, allows the flower to set fruit or seed, which is nice. And so for many flowers, if they're plentiful and depending on the flower, I might pick the entire flower to get more widespread benefits. For roses, though, I do tend just to pick the petals, and part of that is to leave the interior parts of the flower so she can create her pseudofruits, which are called rose hips. And then I and several animals can later collect the rose hips when they're ripe for a very natural high source of vitamin C and other phytonutrients. And I did write a quick microblog on collecting rose hips. It's on my website, BarbaraStarflower.com. If you're new to doing that and you want a few quick tips, and being that I grow roses naturally and ecologically, organically, I'm comfortable and safely enjoying their petals. Oh, and the taste of the petals, it varies. But to me, the taste of the petals leans gently toward the aroma of the flower, so that's really fun. Okay, so let's move on to another beneficial flower, daylilies. And we want to be careful here because daylilies, with the genus and species of Pemerocallis daylily, are edible, whereas lilies, with the genus Lilium, are not. So I encourage care there. So our focus here in terms of edibility is the daylily, Pemerocallis daylily. And this flower, to me, it has a mildly sweet taste, perhaps a little bit, gosh, like maybe a really mild lemon or maybe a zucchini, so not a lot of taste. And with daylilies, the highest antioxidant capacity is in the opening stage of the daylily, and daylilies provide several minerals, including manganese and zinc, so they're just another exceptionally beneficial flower. And many flowers can just be eaten fresh. I like to do that as much as I can, and I know I've said I like to add flowers to my fruit bowls and salads or to my water, or maybe if they can bear the warm water, to herbal teas. And if I want to store them, I often store them preserved in honey or dehydrate or dry them. And another way to store them short-term after picking, you know, is in a refrigerator, or they can be stored for a while in ice cubes and later added to drinks. Or if the flowers are still on the stems, of course, can be placed in water, you know, kind of in a vase or a jar for a short while. And flowers can be candied or made into jams or jellies. I made a lilac apple jam this year that was lovely. Or flowers can be made into teas or even wine. Some people cook with flowers or preserve them in oils. Others like to add them to breakfast foods, desserts, stir fries. It's really however you want to enjoy them. To me, the most important thing, I believe, is ensuring, one, that they're properly identified and the species that you have is edible, making sure of that, and ensuring that they're free of contaminants or harmful chemicals. To me, that's the most important thing. And what's more, I've mentioned before, and I want to reinforce, flowers are a very high vibrational food. Fruits and greens and flowers especially tend to carry higher vibrations. Okay, let me share more exceptionally beneficial edible flowers, including bachelor's buttons, that would be Centaurea cyanus. They're primarily blue, but sometimes pink and white flowers, to me, have a really mild, you know, almost a vegetal taste, and they have several beneficial flavonoids and carotenoids, plus several minerals like potassium and magnesium and zinc. And with bachelor's buttons, I do like to eat the entire flower. See, in general, in the center of the flowers are the pollen-containing and reproductive parts that have nutrients and benefits in their own right. For example, the pollen often contains valuable amino acids as well as important lipids, plus some carbohydrate, vitamins, minerals, carotenoids, and flavonoids. And the stigma, or the female reproductive part of flowers, often contains essential oils, plus, again, valuable carotenoids, natural sugars, and amino acids. And when we get the nectar of flowers, we get special natural sugars, plus organic acids, phenolic acids, terpenoids, alkaloids, amino acids, just so many gifts in flowers. But once more, if you just want to go after the petals, you're still getting loads of benefits. Okay, let me mention another flower, borage flowers. Their blue flowers also have several beneficial flavonoids and carotenoids and have somewhat of a cucumber taste. And then there's several species of dianthus are edible, such as carnations, also known as pinks, specifically Dianthus caryophyllus. These plus Dianthus chinensis, Dianthus thomarius, and Dianthus barbatus are often eaten. They have a sweet and mild, almost clove-like flavor, which I think is really, really nice. Chamomile flowers are edible, anti-inflammatory, relaxing, and soothing. Dahlia flowers are edible, both the flowers and the tubers. And the dahlia flowers have many flavonoids, a very impressive array. And dandelion flowers are edible, amazingly good for our health, extraordinary nutrition profile, high levels of the precursors to vitamin A, additional compounds to benefit immunity, eye health, skin health. All parts of the dandelions are edible. Oh, and dandelions have lecithin, choline, nutrients that help elevate our brain's level of acetylcholine or acetylcholine, if you prefer, which is a substance that helps maintain brain function and benefits memory. And many hibiscus flowers are edible, including hibiscus rosea, as well as hibiscus syriacus, also known as Rose of Sharon, and two North American native hibiscus plants, swamp rose, which is hibiscus mosquitos, and swamp hibiscus, hibiscus coccineus. They're also edible. Really beneficial, soothing effect on the nerves, supporting healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels, contain compounds to help thwart cancer. Oh, they have minerals such as selenium and chromium, which is very helpful. Hibiscus plants are part of the mallow family, which also includes marshmallow, okra, and hollyhocks, which are all edible. And mallow family members contain a special compound called gossypin, which is a flavonoid with specific anti-inflammatory, neuroprotective, anti-cancer, anti-tumor, and anti-diabetic properties. Chives are edible, brassica flowers, radish flowers, snapdragons, sunflower petals, tulips. And let's put in another break, but we'll be right back.
The old adage, smell the roses, still applies, but now with Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers, it takes this adage to a whole new level. It gives you ancient, natural healing methods using the unique properties of over 70 different flowers. We're talking healing on a mind, body, emotional, and spiritual level. All in one book, all for you. It even has pictures. This is a great reference book to be used over and over again. Buy The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
It's time to transcend your personal struggles and reach your highest potential. So take control of your healing process, but you don't have to do it alone. Flowers can help. Get the information you need to heal on a mind, body, spirit level from Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers. Filled with beautiful photos, knowledge, and wisdom, you'll not only be able to heal yourself, but others. Get your copy of The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back. And today we've been talking about exceptional benefits of edible flowers. And edible flowers have long been used in traditional cuisine, and the consumption of edible flowers has increased significantly in recent years, not only for the beauty and taste they can add to dishes, but also for their exceptional benefits. Flowers can offer a form of culinary therapeutics, if you will, and they offer another, along with fruits and vegetables and herbs, natural source of key nutrients. And while I was able to share a lot of edible flowers today, there are more. And if you wish, as always, it's up to you. You can try a few of these edible gems. And so thank you for joining us today, and please do join us on the next episode of Secrets of Sacred Healing, which airs the third Wednesday of each month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. I wish you joy and continued blessings in the restoration of your highest nature and on your journey of exceptional well-being.